Morning, church. How are you this morning?
Better than you.
Better than me. Why? I'm healed and whole. Hey, I'm getting a good dose of healing right now. And just before I start, if anyone says, oh, you're under spiritual attack, I'll whack you up the side of the head. All right, this is due to me thinking I'm a 25-year-old doing CrossFit, doing a box jump, which some of those CrossFitters out there will know what a box jump is. I was up to about 20 box jumps, and with CrossFit, you've got to concentrate on what you're doing. And I thought I was so good doing 20, and then I just looked up, and I jumped, and I went, oh no, and I came down on my shin, so I fractured and tore all the skin off my shin, and I'm in a lot of pain, but that's okay because God is in control. So it wasn't a spiritual attack, all right? No, we've got to go. I know you're here to listen to the demonic and how to get, you know, possession and all that sort of stuff this morning. If you're here for that, that's great. Who has actually been here for the last 3 weeks? Right, tick. Who's listened to the three messages? That's pretty scary. When I said you're here for the last 3 weeks, there's a lot of hands going up. I said, who listened to the three messages? And only a couple of hands. There's a problem already. But this morning, I'm going to be speaking on how to gain deliverance from the demonic influence. And I've really got to stress this, that if you've come here to listen to this one sermon, I really encourage you to go back the last 3 weeks and listen to the three, because they all culminate into this. And some Christians, what we tend to do, we tend to pick out the really juicy bits and focus on them without doing the hard work and study and meditating and prayer into what comes. I don't know what it is with us. We do that, don't we? You know, if there's a 10-week course and there's week number 7 is the juicy bit, we tend to go, 7. So there's a build-up to this, okay? Now, just this week, I received a magazine from the Franklin Graham, the Decision magazine. I opened it up, it was the September-October edition, and those there were the actual main stories in that one magazine. How amazing is that? Praying in a pagan land, doctrinal praying, defeat the devil, the power of the prayer, privilege and prayer, the mighty weapon of prayer, and life is a war. It means that, because what he does, he goes around the world and he's picking out what's happening around the world and what the church should be focusing on. And what a great confirmation that we've just spent the whole month of September on the power of prayer and the power of spiritual warfare, and then we have this come out. That was a real encouragement to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you that we're actually on the right pathway. Okay, my injury is not an attack. I've spoken to you about that. Okay, so let's get into it. Have you got your outlines and all that, notes? It's okay if you're using your phone for notes. All right, not Facebook, but notes. All right. All right, let's get into it. Well, it was a practice that years ago in a mental hospital, a lot of mental hospitals actually, when they were evaluating patients, what they would do for release, there was a test that they gave these patients, and obviously it's different now, but the patient would find, what they'd do, they'd take the patient into a kitchen, and in the kitchen there would be flowing of water from the sink. The tap would be running, it would be flowing out onto the floor, and the doctor would say to the patient, I want you to fix this problem. And they would watch the patient to see what he does. Okay? Now, if the patient just mopped the water on the floor and kept mopping and kept mopping and kept mopping, well, he wasn't released. But if the patient turned the tap off and then mopped up, he would be released. Okay? Now, the patient's response told the staff whether the person was dealing with reality or not, and therefore was not ready to be released. Reality, people. Anyone who is in touch with reality knows that you can't mop up a mess when the source of the mess hasn't been dealt with. Now, what I've been trying to do in this series is put you in touch with the reality of spiritual warfare. Okay, my purpose is that you won't waste your time trying to mop up circumstances when God has given you all the spiritual authority you need to address the root cause of the circumstances. Now, if you want to change the fruit, you must first address the root of the plant. Eh? Now, I want to help you quit mopping up the overflow, because many of us do. We're running around, living in this world, mopping up the overflow. And we don't need to do that. I want to show you how to turn off the tap and start getting things cleaned up in our lives. I want you free. I want you released. And we've sung some beautiful songs this morning, exactly saying that. And wasn't it a beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit this morning in this room? Now, if you didn't feel anything this morning when you were in worship, well, I'm going to pray that God revives you and gets your heartbeat back, because what we experienced this morning in worship was just sheer delight. And this is what happens. When we are in with God, we are right. And this is what this message this morning is going to be all about. Okay, the weapons of your warfare that we've been talking about in previous weeks aren't going to do a lot of good for you if you don't know how to put them into action. Okay, so the last 3 weeks we've been speaking about all the armor of God. Now, the weapons of your warfare that we've been talking about are very important, but really, if we're wearing them and we don't do anything with them, we're just like clanging cymbals. We're just clang, 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 walking around like that, aren't we? Too many believers prayed into church every Sunday, and then they march home, and the truth of the God never really gets into their lives. People like this are no threat to Satan. I mean, I've been guilty of that. I've gone to a church service and listened to the preacher and gone, wow, what a great message. Gone home, and then 3 days later, what did he preach about? And we're all guilty of that. I mean, what did I preach on 7 weeks ago? I don't know. But it sustained you for that day, didn't it? Or it sustained you for that week. Or it's like getting a nice home-cooked meal from our wives or our husbands that sustained us for that day. Now, because he knows that they will never use their spiritual weapons against them, the weapons are for show and entertainment only. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we studied the believer's spiritual armor, the 6 pieces of offensive and defensive weaponry God has equipped with us. But Paul doesn't stop writing there, because in the very next verse, he gives us a secret to using this great authority God has made available to us. Now, we might say that after describing the Christian battle dress, Paul tells us how to get dressed, how to access the authority that we can possess. In Ephesians 6:18, let's look at it. It says, pray at all times. Pray at all times on every occasion. I want to emphasize that. Pray at all times on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Just take a moment and just read that over and over. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be present in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. It's a pretty big statement. It is prayer that gains us access to the authority we need for victorious warfare. Prayer is the way we get dressed for battle. So let's talk about warfare prayer. Remember the story of the emperor that had no clothes? That's the way a lot of us go around spiritually. We're basically naked, we're basically unclothed, because prayer is not a dynamic, prayer is not a vital, prayer is not a potent, prayer is not a constant and controlling and all-empowering, encompassing reality in our Christian lives. Is it? Really? Come on, let's be honest with one another. I tell you what, you wouldn't need a pastor in a church if we were all doing this. Because we don't have our spiritual clothes on, because we don't know how to put on our armor, we wind up being spiritually embarrassed. And even worse than that, when we're getting mopped up by Satan, and when God has given us everything we need to defeat the enemy. And it's... Yeah, there are two things we need to know about warfare, and that is, the first one in your outline is intercessory prayer is the most powerful and strategic weapon in spiritual warfare. Now, you've heard it said about the intercessory prayer people. They're a funny bunch, aren't they? Because they're always praying. Always pray, but man, that's what God calls each and every one of us to do. So a big high five to you intercessory prayer people. Actually, in fact, you can start praying for me right now. Intercessory prayer means that I'm interceding on someone else's behalf. In my first message in the series, remember I got halfway through and I just felt an overwhelming presence of confusion. And I asked the intercessory prayer people to pray for me. And within minutes, I was back on track. That's what the power of prayer does. I'm praying to God for your victory in the spiritual battle. And if we know that prayer has a direct impact on spiritual warfare. Once Jesus' disciples ran to a demon-possessed boy that they couldn't heal. And the boy's father pleaded with Jesus to help, and Jesus delivered the boy from the demonic presence. Later, Jesus' disciples asked if they, why didn't they have the ability to cast the demon out of this boy, as they had done with others. And this is what Jesus replied. He said, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." See, prior to Jesus predicting that Simon Peter would deny him three times, he had to say this. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have all of you to sift you like wheat. But," this is Jesus saying, "but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail." And we know the rest of the history of that. The fact is that God's power falls when prayer prevails. We must understand that. If you want to write that down on your notes, God's power falls where prayer prevails. So we could look at example after example, example after example in the Bible where intercessory prayer was used as a powerful and strategic weapon in spiritual warfare. Now the point is that we all need to be under a prayer covering from our brothers and sisters in Christ. You praying for me and me praying for you. Bless you. Number two, prayer brings God's deliverance and power in the midst of a spiritual attack. Prayer brings God's deliverance and power in the midst of a spiritual attack. Now, one of the first things a commander tries to do in warfare is to establish superiority in the air, okay? Whoever controls the air usually wins the war. If you establish the air superiority, you'll suffer fewer casualties on the ground, won't you? Now, one of our problems is that the church is suffering a lot of casualties on the ground because we haven't established superiority in the air. In the heavenly realms where the real warfare is taking place. Remember, there is the demonic activity in the heavens. And if you haven't been there for the last 3 weeks, you're going to be going, "What?" But there is evil activity in the heavens. Okay? Yeah, that's why you have to go back the last 3 weeks. There is one big difference between an earthly army and a church. An earthly army has to go out and win the air war to establish superiority. But Jesus Christ has already won the spiritual war and established air superiority. So our task is to take that superiority we have and use it to win our battles. Now that's important because it's possible to lose a battle even when you have superior weapons, when you're not using those weapons to the full advantage. Okay? So what kind of prayer do we need to experience deliverance and power? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. The first one is consistent prayer. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, prayer isn't some kind of occasional hobby for the Christ follower. Prayer is our lifeblood. It is our duty, and it is what is normal for us. Now, I know for some of us that's a really hard thing to do, because some of you have been brought up in different denominations where you have to be seated right, you have to have all the around you right, and you pull out your prayer book, and you just say the prayers. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is all about relationship. He is a Father. You know, we're seated in the heavenly realms. We're seated next to who? Our Father. And if you're sitting next to your Father, you can just go, hey, how you doing? It's good. How you doing? Good. It's as easy as that. You don't need all the bells and whistles to talk to your Father in heaven. I mean, some of the conversations I have with God is amazing sometimes. Sometimes I'm embarrassed. I say, oh, Lord, you know. But you've still got that reverency for the Lord, but He wants us to have an open relationship, and praying isn't just like getting on our knees. We can pray walking, we can pray doing our work, staff, you can pray. You know, box jumping, you can pray. Thank you. I have the mic. You don't. Hey, good to see you both here, by the way. Been praying and just, yeah, you're an awesome couple. Yeah, prayer is our lifeblood. It's our duty and it's what's normal for us. We don't pray sometimes, okay? We pray all the time. We don't pray on special occasions. We pray on every occasion. We don't pray in our own prayer, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Every prayer is in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit indwells us, is in us. And the fact is that either we or our friends in Christ are under attack constantly, so we must be constantly in prayer. Remember the last 3 weeks, there's a constant battle going out there. The enemy is after every single one of you. And that's why we should be praying constantly. You know, the elders in the prayer group in the morning, during the week, they pray for all of you. In our staff meetings, we pray for the family at Hillside. So we should be praying for one another. We'll get into that in a bit more. But prayer is the atmosphere in which we fight. It is the way we stay in vital daily conduct with our commander. In other words, the way we activate and use our armor we've been talking about is consistently approaching our spiritual commander in chief through prayer. You see, a lot of us are loaded up in our battle gear. We've got our armor on, and you know we're all clanging away, like I said before, but we're wandering around aimlessly, and it's obscene that a soldier would do that. You wouldn't see a soldier walking around with his gun ready for action without having spoken to his commander. But sometimes as Christians, we do that, don't we? Oh, we put the armor of God on. Yeah, we can put all that on and look really good. But then we're not talking to our commander. How dumb is that? Really? Another way to experience deliverance and power is through intense prayer. It says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. See, one of the problems we have is that the devil has already taken back a lot of territory from some of us believers. He has taken back the territory of peace from some of us. From others, he has taken back the territory of homes. He's taken back the territory of families and marriages and businesses. From still others, the devil has taken back authoritative position that God has given us. And I see it every day. Satan is always looking to take back territory that Christ has won. Some of you were once confident in who you were. Well, Satan has and will try to steal that confidence from you little bit by little bit. So if we're going to stand firm, we must know how to put the armor on, one, and then how to use it, two. And that authority is activated through intense prayer. The kind of prayer that Paul has in mind here is an intense, as fervent, as knowledgeable prayer that enables us to reach into the heaven and take withdrawals from our spiritual account. We're not praying as we fall asleep at night. I've done that. Oh, Heavenly Father, Sally's praying away and I'm going, oh yeah, Lord, that's good. And I wake up the next morning and she goes, oh, you fell asleep. We're not talking about those sort of prayers. We're fully alert to Satan's schemes and praying accordingly to defeat him. Now, this is serious, people. Last year, Satan nearly took me out. But as soon as I started praying, I started to realign myself with God and his truth. And before, I was only seconds away of smashing into a wall, literally. And once I started praying, God showed me what was going on. Then he led me to pray and fast. And then the theme, Seek First the Kingdom of God, came to me, which we've all been doing this year. Going back to basics, saying, whoa, stop, let's just seek him first. This has become our focus of this year, Matthew 6. Let's have a look. Sorry, I haven't got it up there. Matthew 6 in the NIV. Darcy, if you... Matthew 6, verse 5 to 14. Let's have a look. One of the things about prayer. You know, he lists actually three things here that you can be rewarded, remember? He says, and I will reward you. If you're generous, I will reward you. Giving to the needy, he says, I will reward you afterwards. And then after fasting, he says, I will reward you if you fast. And prayer, he says the same thing. Listen to what he says. He says, and when you pray, do not like be the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will what? Will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. You are awesome. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Creator of the universe. Your kingdom come, your will be done You know, a lot of Christians look at that and say, your kingdom come, your will be done. A lot of people say, oh, let the peace of heaven, let the beautifulness of heaven come down to earth. Well, you know, as I've been telling you and teaching you, that there's a spiritual battle going on in the heavens as well. So we're bringing that down and all that. We need to be careful, okay? But we're protected because when we're seated in the right hand of the Father. So when we're with the Father, talking to Him, praying with Him, we're protected. And that's what not a lot of us are doing. We say, oh, bring heaven down. Okay, I'll bring heaven down. But where's our closeness to God? Yeah. Through prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Now that tells me we should be praying daily. It doesn't say give us this year's bread to us, Lord. And that's one prayer. No, it says give us today our daily bread. So are we praying to our Lord every day? And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven debtors. I'm going there, but anyway, that's another sermon. And lead us not into temptation, okay? But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a daily prayer. How often are we praying this or similar to this? There is also strategic prayer. It says, stay alert and be persistent in all your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Now, we're not just praying a prayer. We're praying for specific people and circumstances. If I know that you're tempted in a certain area, I'm going to pray for deliverance in that area. If you're in a church leadership position, I'm going to pray for you to withstand the enemy's attack because I know that you deal with them constantly, just as I do. And when an army is in a battle, they just don't start shooting randomly. They aim and fire directly at the place where they know the enemy is located. We need to do the same in prayer. Okay, so they're the types of prayer that we need to be doing. I'd like to switch gears just a little and talk about warfare deliverance. Okay, wake up. Come on. Now, what do we? You guys are probably going to be shocked at the end of it. Go, oh, I'm not going to be doing jumping up and down and doing all weird things this morning. All right? There's no need for that. Actually, spiritual warfare is really, really quite basic. What we've done over the years is turned it into some hooby-gooby-gooby-gooby thing, or the enemy has. And it's just quite basic. So what do we do for those who have already given in? You know, the brothers and sisters who are backsliding, who are not fighting the battle and seem to be under the influence of the demonic already. Now, there are many people, both Christian and non-Christian, who have been afflicted, have been attacked, and appear to be living in defeat. But there are three things we need to learn to be able to deliver these people from bondage. Those intercessory prayer people, so I want you to start praying now. Because people, I believe, in this room are going to be just about to be set free. The revelation of God is about to hit you. Number one, the cause of demonic influence. Now, I know the question is, you're already asking this question. I know some of you are already asking in your minds. So let me answer it before I go any further. Can a Christian be possessed by a demon? In short, answer is no. I don't believe they can because we're already possessed by the Holy Spirit. But to take it a step further, the Bible never uses the word possessed in relation to the demonic, even though our English translations do. So this is why it's important to study the Word. We've got to study the Word. The Bible literally talks about a person being demonized with someone being demonized to a greater extent than others. It's a matter of degree. In that sense, I do believe a Christian can be demonized in the sense of being highly influenced by the demonic if he or she allows themselves to be so. But what causes a person to be demonized? Well, all these answers are going to come straight from the Word of God. And I'm not mucking around here. I'm not going to try and put my slant or any thoughts here. It's just straight from the Word of God. And that's what you'll get. The first one is worshipping anything in place of God. In Deuteronomy 32:17, it says, they offered sacrifices to demons, non-gods, to gods they had not known before, to gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors have never feared. The other one is engaging in occult practices. And do not let your people practice fortune-telling or sorcery or allow them to interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. You know, we're so common, aren't we, to say, oh, yeah, it's on the cards. We're going to do that this week. What? Who says that? I mean, I've said it before. Oh, yeah, it's on the cards. We can't say that. Star signs. Who looks at their star signs? That's the occult. This is the next one's a good one. But I don't think any of you guys have done that. Cursing people. Oh, you idiot. Oh, she's an idiot. She's stupid. We've never said that, have we? Cursing from our mouths. Another one is continuous disobedience to God's rule. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting, in other translations, evil spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Now, let's just hold. Whoa. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had left King Saul, not Saul Paul, but King Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting, the Lord sent an evil spirit, that's what it says, that filled him with depression and fear. Okay. Pretty quiet out there. Unresolved anger and bitterness. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. I mean, those of you who are married know that when you're grumpy with your spouse and you go to bed grumpy, that seems to manifest, doesn't it, during the night? You give a foothold to the devil to start speaking to you, and I can see a lot of elbows going here. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those marriages right now in Jesus' name. I just pray, Lord, power. I pray joy into those marriages, and I pray forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Now forgive each other, all right? Now, but ask for forgiveness and understand and, you know, communicate and yay. All right. So don't let the sun go down. Even if you've upset someone at work, and you know you've upset someone at work, just send them a quick SMS and say, hey, man, sorry, I might have spoke to you a bit harshly. You know, just last night I was around with a group of people and someone spoke to me a little bit harshly, but I understood what they were saying. And I thought, ooh, that was a bit prickly. But then they went home and straight away he was like, hey, I'm really sorry the way I spoke to you. Please forgive me. I went, yeah, sure, man. I was going to wait until the morning. No. But, you know, it's freedom. That's what God wants us to do. Now, we could name some others, but basically it comes down to letting yourself be caught up with the prince of this world rather than the God who is our Father. Okay? It is when God does not have the first place in our lives that we're in danger. All right, that's as basic as it is. Number two, the, the confirmation of demonic influence. Now, before I give to these, I want to offer a huge caution, okay? And those people that are listening this on the internet, I'm going to offer a big caution. Someone could display some of these behaviors that I'm going to mention and not be under the demonic influence. Okay? I have to say this. Because there are people out there that look at everything and say, that's demonic, that's demonic, that's demonic, that's demonic, that's demonic, that's demonic, and they're like that all the time. We know those people. Now, they could have some mental or emotional problem or a chemical imbalance or something along those lines. Sometimes those things might be even caused by a demonic attack, but not always. So we really want to be careful with this, okay? This is where prayer, wisdom and discernment come into it. It is best to have a person diagnosed by a qualified professional before making any type of determination along these lines. That's why we pray for that wisdom and discernment. Okay, don't be quick to make an opinion. Now, sometimes we go along and go, oh, that's boom, straight out, what, straight away. Now, pray about it. Let God tell you what it is and show you what it is. Okay, the first one is fits of rage. Ah! The very next day, in fact, the tormenting spirit from who? From God overwhelmed Saul. And he began to rave like a madman. Saul was a very, very naughty boy. I hope none of you are very naughty. Extreme physical strength. Mark 5:3 says, the man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. I remember when I was young, I thought, yeah, I can bust a chain. I want to be like Samson, you know. Oh, there's no way I can break a chain. Multiple personalities. Now, use caution here. When Jesus was still some distance away, a man saw him and he ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him and he gave a terrible scream, shrieking, why are you bothering me, son, Jesus, son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me. I reckon he probably, for God's sake, he just used the Lord's name in vain, didn't he, really? Occult powers. One day as we were going down the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. Someone gave me a message yesterday that they went out to a festival or something and they drove past a camp place and there was a witchcraft festival, witchcraft camp going on. Someone in the congregation sent me that. I just want to tell that person, pray over your family. Pray over your family because if you went past and saw it, there would be a lot of activity there. So just pray. Just pray. I hope you did pray. Just pray. Pray over your family protection. All right. So no control. Next one is no control over temptation. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. People, listen to this. A lot of people I hear sometimes they say, oh, the devil made me do it. That's a load of rubbish. The temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions. And evil actions lead to death. There's your warning. Now, these are some of the things to look out for in our own lives and in the lives of others that we might come in contact with. And it's okay to go up to a brother and say, hey, listen, I've been watching you do this, or I know that you're doing this. Give him James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Because you're preventing them from dying. But what are we supposed to do about it? Well, the cure for demonic influence. What's the cure for it? Now, I could preach a whole series of sermons on this topic, but I'm just going to try and sum it up as quickly as possible because I think we need to. It's that simple. The long and short of it is this. The cure comes when we place ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's it. The cure comes when we place ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no steak knives here, guys. That's just it. That's all I'm selling you. The first step is accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior of our lives. That's the first step. Until we do that, there's nothing that no one can do, no one and nothing can do to help us. There's nothing. We must make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior of our lives. There's nothing you can do else. You're going to keep on getting attacked after attack after attack after attack. If you're already a Christian and you believe you're under demonic influence or you know who someone is, you need to take these steps. First one is reclaim your position in Christ. For every child, 1 John 5:4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. It's that easy, folks. You are a child of God and there is no reason for you to live in defeat. No reason at all. Ask Jesus Christ to take the place of authority in your life and submit to his will. That's it. The other one is confess all known sin. All known sin. Don't go try and think of sin that you may have done. Just all known sin. Let the Holy Spirit say, yep, that, boom, boom. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. I love God. Have I told you lately? Have I? I love Jesus. Because look, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. Wouldn't that be good to tell our spouse? Every sin that I've committed against God, I know I'm going to place under the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. I need to refuse to allow Satan to dominate me in this area and claim the forgiveness that God offers me. Other one is destroy any occult objects. Many who become believers confess their sinful practices. A number of them who have been practicing magic bought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. Now, the value of the books was several $1 million. This is going way back. That'd be billions of dollars worth now. Do you have astrology charts? Do you have fortune cards? Do you have Ouija boards? Do you have books of occult? Get rid of them. Honestly, get rid of them. You know, when I was in 2008, I went to Uganda. And I went with Pastor Richard, Pastor Steve Hall from Kalamunda Church of Christ, and Pastor Clinton Phillips from C3 down in Langford, C3 Langford, and I just started my ministry, so I was around these three guys that were like, whoa, you know, this was amazing. And anyway, we're in Jinja, and the king of Jinja died that week when we were there ministering. And in Uganda, there's a lot of witchcraft. In actual fact, the king's body went to the Anglican bishop and was there for 3 days. And just to make sure, he went over to, and the body went to the witchcraft, the witch doctor's place for a few days. And anyway, we were over there, and the night before, one of the pastors came and said, "Look, there's a big gathering at the Jinja Showgrounds on Sunday, and we want." They were looking at all four of us, and I'm just going, oh boy, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be exciting to see. And they said, yeah, we want Kerry to preach. And I'm going, but look, we've got Pastor Richard, we've got this, we've got there, we've got there. And he said, no, we believe there's an anointing on you to preach to the people. And that night, I wanted to quit. Honestly, I did. I went into the guys where they were and I said, I'm quitting. I think this is a load of rubbish. Christianity, God's not real. The fear of the enemy got into me and just totally was ripping me apart. Now, Pastor Richard, he said, righty, I know what it is. It's the Jezebel spirit that's trying to manipulate, intimidate, and everything else on you. So let's just pray this, because there was a lot of witchcraft going on. They did not want anyone to preach at the showgrounds. So anyway, what they did, they prayed over me. I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning going, oh, wow, now the fear of the Lord's on me. I want to quit. But I went there, and on the way to the showgrounds, the other pastors had to go to other churches, and they were probably, you know. Anyway, there were over 1,000 people at the Ginger Showgrounds, and the pastor said to me, whatever you do, don't mention witchcraft. And I said, okay, Lord. So I started praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? What do you want me to preach on? He said, preach on Isaiah 47:8-14. And speak about material things and lovers of pleasure. I went, oh, great, okay. And it was that quick that I didn't have time to read. But I want to read to you what it was. And this is what God does. When we pray, God downloads to us, and He knows what people need to hear. Okay, so this is what it says. It says, now then, listen, you lover of pleasure. Oh, great, this is good. So the people are listening. You know, this is great. This is good. Longing in your security and saying to yourself, I am there. I am there, none beside me. I will never be a widow or suffer a loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment, in a single day. Loss of children and widowhood. And I'm going, oh my goodness, what am I reading? And they will come upon you like in full measure in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, I am, and there is none beside me. Disaster will come upon you, and you will not know how to conjure it away. A calamity will fall upon you, and that you cannot ward off with a ransom, or a catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Keep then your magic spells and all your many sorceries, which you have laboured at since. Now, this time the pastor's nearly fainting beside me because he's interpreting. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they will be like stubble and the fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power and the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. Then I said, take me now, Lord. What I'm getting at is that after this message, we had probably about 5 witch doctors burning all their stuff. And this pastor had the audacity to tell me not to preach about witchcraft, when this whole region was saying it's okay to be in both camps. It's not, people. It is not okay to be in both camps. He wants you to be hot, not lukewarm, not cool. He wants you to be hot for Him. And this is serious stuff. We have to build upon our relationship. If we want to see things happen here on earth, we need to push through with our relationship. We can put all the armor of God on, but we need to have that relationship through prayer, praise, and worship. Another cure of demonic influence is trust in the Christ of the cross. Trust in the Christ of the cross to deliver you. He cancelled that record and contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross of Christ. You know, we're to engage in warfare prayer. It says, Ephesians 8, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Can I have the music team up, please? You know, it's reported that Emperor Napoleon once looked at a map and said, if it were not for that one red dot, I could rule the world. If it not for that one red dot, and that red dot was the British Empire, the one place on the map that Napoleon couldn't conquer. And you know what? Satan is a lot like Napoleon. He looks at the cross and he says, if it were not for that one red stained cross, I could have conquered the human race. If God had not become a man and entered our world in the person of Jesus Christ, Satan could have his victory. He could have had us. Has he got you? Is he getting to you? You know, addiction is a real thing. I believe Satan puts things in front of us. He creates things and puts things in front of us, and it's up to us whether we it's our own evil desire, whether we latch onto it. And as when we latch onto it, we go further into it. Just like pornography. One little look and we grab hold of it, and bit by bit, by bit, by bit, we get hooked into it, and it starts to destroy us. It starts to destroy our relationships, destroys who we are. And all along God's saying, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. It might be alcohol. Just take a bit, just take a bit more, just take a bit more, just take a bit more. Could be the way that we're talking to our children or our spouse. Could be the way that we're cheating on our tax return to get that little bit of extra money, just to get that little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And we've just spent 4 weeks on spiritual warfare. And I know for a fact that we live in this world that is evil. And one day we will be with God, with Jesus. But until that day comes, we live in such a battle. And the way for deliverance from demonic influence is simply as this, is prayer, prayer, prayer. That's it. I'm going to open up the altar now, and I'm going to ask if there's people in your lives that you want to represent this morning that you know are struggling. If you are struggling in areas, any areas of your life, you know what? You're in a constant battle. And brothers and sisters, here at Hillside, we do not judge. Is that Engel scale, minus 10 to plus 10? And we're all on a journey, and some of us are up here, some of us are down here. But you know what? All these people up here, we're down here. And the only reason why you're up there is because people came down and walked with you and prayed with you and protected you and discipled you. That's what being a child of God is all about. Not looking at someone and going, oh, look at their life. Oh, they're a mess. Oh. No, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be praying for that person, praying into their lives And then it's asking God, what can I do to help my brother, your child in Christ? Instead of damning them, we should be lifting them up in prayer and encouraging them. That's what's going to fight the battle. That's what's going to be victorious in the battle. It's through prayer. Remember, some of you guys are clanging around with the battle going, oh, look at that over there. Oh, look at that over there. Oh, look at that over there. Stop it. Pray. Just pray. God wants to give you life full of joy and peace and gladness. You just can't take it all for yourself. You've got to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to see all of you full of joy and peace and gladness. I want you to see walking in the Spirit, heads high, with your full armor on. Amen. Can we sing Waymaker again and just let's just all stand. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the elders to come out. We've got oil. The elders are going to just oil you up. But if there's people that need prayer, actually, who needs prayer? Who needs prayer? Who needs prayer? Come on, we all need prayer. I want you to come forward. I just want you to come forward. And if you want to pray for someone that you know that's in needing prayer, that may have backslided or whatever, and you can see the demonization on their lives and they're backsliding, that we're going to pray for that person right now. We'll help you pray, and we're going to believe that God's going to transform and change their lives. We're going to believe that God's going to transform your life today. I believe that chains are going to be ripped apart today. Now, if you have the faith that God can do this, you just watch what happens over the next week. As the song's sung, just if the Spirit leads you, just come forward for prayer. Let's sing.